Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Mossig podcast. This is our first season and our first episode of our Mossig podcast. I'm your host. My name is Marcos Mendonça. And today I have a very special guest with me, Monica Bicalho. Hi, Monica. How are you?
Hi, Marcos. I'm fine. And you? Thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, thank you very much for being here, for accepting my invitation. I'm very happy. Well, Monica, tell us a little bit about how you started working as a vendor for publishers and how you became an editor. How did you start working for the product department? Because I know that there is a long path there, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So can you tell us a little bit about how you became an editor and what took you there?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, as you said, it's a long path. It's a long story. But basically, I'd say I'm a teacher, right? So I'm an English teacher. So that's it. And yeah. I worked in language courses in schools as teacher, as coordinator for 18, 20 years.
All right.
And then I had a chance to work as a consultant for a group of people who were starting a platform for teaching English online. So I was a consultant for them. And after 6 years I was working for them, they were bought by a company, and I, you know, I went with them. So then I started working for...
You can say the name of the company. So they were bought by Pearson, right?
Exactly.
That's how we met.
That's how we met, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then when I was there, you know, at the beginning, when there is an acquisition in a company, it's a bit confusing, right? Because sometimes you have two people doing the same job and then you have to choose. And then where are we going to fit this person? But I ended up going to, you know, to the product area. And as I was a project manager. And that was honestly, you know, my first contact with the editorial world, you know. Oh. So I was
as a manager.
So I had to be very humble, you know, and ask a lot of questions to my team, you know, how to do this, how to do that, even vocabulary. There were new things for me. Were things that I had no idea what they meant.
Because there is a specific jargon, right, that we use
exactly
in the product jargon. Department.
Yeah. Yes.
So you had to learn a lot from your team, right?
Exactly. I had to learn a lot from my team, you know. And then, of course, there is this baggage, right? We come with, you know, I had this educational background that, of course, you know, helped me a lot. So I knew how to teach, let's say, right? How to conduct a lesson. And this is precious for, you know, the editorial. So this is, you know.
And that's very interesting, because everybody I've talked to, they say the same thing. They say that this background of teaching is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. So if you want to work as an editor, if you want to work in the product department, the baggage that you bring with you as a teacher is extremely important, right?
Yes, exactly. Extremely important. And I remember when I was a coordinator, an English coordinator in a private school, a part of the job is analyzing material, as you know, right, to choose. Oh, okay, so for next year, are we going to keep the same material or are we going to change it? And when we decide to change, we go to the market, so we go to the different publishing houses. What do you have for us? What do you have? And then you get very used to analyzing, you know, book, analyzing material. And this was also you know, a very important background, because I had this, you know, the ability to look at a book, to read a book, and be able to think, this is going to work, this is not going to work, the lessons are too long, the lessons are too short, you know, the teacher's book is not helping the teachers, or the teacher's book is really helpful to the teachers, you know. So this was very important as well for me, you know,
because
in my new career, because it's a new career.
It's a new career, and you do that too, right? To analyze books, you have to look at a book and say, this is working, this is not working, this is, it's too long, it's too short, there's something missing here, right? Exactly. So that background also helped you, right, in this new career, right?
It did, certainly.
Very nice. And Monica, in a nutshell, what is the editorial process? What is the editorial flow? What is that?
Okay. So there is, of course, the very first bureaucratic part, right, of contracts and all that. Also the commercial, you know, part, because the company you are working for, they have to decide, you know, what kind of book they want to sell, why they want to sell it, right? So there is, you know, this part that comes to the product area kind of defined, and then they say, okay, so we are going to produce this book because this is what we need, and then our work in the editorial, and then it starts, right?
So,
and then
there is always like a market demand, right? So that's what the market needs, and this is what we need you to develop, right?
Exactly. And even when it comes to the product area, a demand, you know, from the market, it's still kind of broad. So we have to narrow it a little bit more. And then we start with a process of survey. So we go, we visit schools, you know, and we ask directly to the teachers, look, we are going to write a new book. What would you like to see it in the book? Okay,
right.
So there is this, at the beginning, this is also rich, you know, and very, very, very important. Even more when we are doing, for example, a new edition of a book that is already in the market. So we're going to have a new edition. What worked and what didn't work in the previous edition?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And, you know, so narrow it a little bit more.
Wonderful. So this connection with the client, this connection with the schools, with the teachers, is also very important in the product department.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's, we can say that it's also part of the editorial process, right?
We can say it's part of the editorial process.
Do you think that it's very different, the editorial process? Do you think the editorial process is very different when you are working with print or with a digital material? Is it very similar? What are the differences, the main differences between print and digital when it comes to the editorial flow?
Okay. For this first step, you know, of understanding the market, it's pretty much the same, right? Mm-hmm. The only difference is that you are going to ask questions that sometimes are more focused on the usability of, mm-hmm. you know, the product, the button, where should go the button, you know, and what kind of platform would you like to see, this kind of thing. But the beginning of the process is pretty much the same. But the difference, I would say, is that in terms, because it's a long process, the editorial process is long. And when it comes to digital, it's shorter. It's a bit shorter, right? Because it doesn't have, you know, of course, the moment of print, of going to print. So we can do it faster. And also because when we have to, let's say, fix something, it's also faster, right? For you to fix something in a book, it's much more complicated.
Yeah, because you have to wait for the next edition, right? For you to fix stuff, it's much more complicated. So when you have something that needs to be fixed in digital, usually you go there, you have the problem, say, please fix it, and it's faster, right?
It's faster. Yes.
Great. Awesome. And tell me about the people who are usually involved in this process. So we have like editors. Who else do we have usually involved in this process from manuscript to publishing?
Okay. So as I had said before, we have people from other areas, right? Commercial, market. But when it comes to the product area, we have, you know, the product manager who is the person that is going to make all the connections, let's say, between the areas and between the people involved in the process. It's going usually is the person who is going to make to hire, you know, to choose the team, because one important detail is that most of the time, if not always, we don't have all the team in the house. We use vendors, right? Yes. And then we have to choose our vendors. Yeah. And because the people, so now having that said, going back to your question.
Let me just stop you there a little bit, because I think there might be people who don't know what a vendor is. Can you explain really fast what a vendor is?
Okay. A vendor is a person that you hire for a specific project. And for example, usually the authors, people who actually write the book, they are not in-house.
So it's something that you outsource, right?
Exactly. You outsource. So you choose an author, for example, or an editor from the market, you outsource, you know, and you pay this person for this particular project.
Awesome. Great. Okay. So you were have telling the us author, about the manager. Yes, the authors.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have the manager, you have the authors, can be one, can depending on the size of the project, you know, there can be many authors. And you have the editor, because once, you know, the manuscript, what the author writes is ready, it goes to an editor, right, that is going to make the necessary changes to have it according to what's needed. We need also an assistant, an editor assistant, because there are many little things, say little, but they take time. Like, for example, preparing the list of images in a book, you know, checking audios,
listening script, audio scripts, right?
Checking audio scripts, checking video scripts. So the editor, it's very difficult for the editor to work alone. The editor needs some assistance.
Right? And it's a lot of work, right, Monica? It's like, I think there are a lot of details, right?
A lot of details. And one thing that I must confess, that even now that I have been working with this for 10 years, I'm always learning is to train my eyes to the design, you know, to the art part. Because this is something that as a teacher, I was not that trained. You know, my eye was more like, this book is beautiful. It's not beautiful. Something very basic. Now it's different, you know, because I have to see what's going to fit in a page, you know, and, you know, the boxes. Are we going to have box to give, for example, in the teacher's guide, give tips to the teacher, you know, highlights, you know, this kind of thing. So another group of people who are involved in the process are, you know, the designers. Okay. So
are they the ones who put the manuscript into PDF? Are they the ones who do that?
Yes, they are. They are the ones who do that. You know, because the authors, they work on PDF. On Word, right? The editor, the first editing is still on Word.
On Word.
And then we have a first copy, let's say, that we send to the studio, and then they have it on PDF for the first time. And then it keeps coming and going for adjustments.
And then you have what you guys call P1, P2, P3,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
So it comes and goes, and you check things and you change things and you adapt things and you make sure that everything is according to the briefing, right?
Exactly. And in this, in regards of the proofs, right, it changes a lot from, you know, publishing houses to, you know, some work with more proofs, some work with less, some work with quality assurance. There are two steps of the process that I think they're very interesting. One is the critical review. Sometimes when there is time, when it's part of the process, I said, it can be different from publishing house to publishing house, but it's very interesting to have someone who is not there, part of this process, reading, you know, this PDF with the point of view of a teacher. Okay, is this going to work? Do you think the instructions are clear to the students? And, you know, the steps are clear to the teacher. You know, what we are offering as one lesson, does it really fit in, let's say, 50 minutes? Is it too much or not? So this is very interesting, you know, and when we have time. Yeah, very important when we have time for that, when we have budget for that. And also quality assurance, which is more... which is another way of seeing the book, is a guaranteeing that it has the patterns, you know, it follows some patterns. You know, for example, are all the titles in bold? So this person is going to guarantee that all the titles are in bold.
Are all the sections there, or there are sections missing, like that, right?
Exactly.
So to see if the structure of the book is really according to the book, so it's like by the book. So all right. And Monica, when you hire, for example, you hire a writer, an author, what does the author need to have or need to know before starting writing the manuscript? What kind of documents does a writer receive before starting writing?
Okay, so the briefing is very important, and it has all the details that, you know, they go from the structure of the book, how many pages, how many chapters, to, you know, the methodology, what kind of methodology are we following here? And talking about pages, we have something that we call book plan or page plan. The name can vary a bit, but it's something that we have to follow strictly, because the book was thought, you know, was planned to have a certain amount of pages. And this is a budget, you know, issue. It's a commercial aspect. And then if the book has, I don't know, 160 pages, it must have 160 pages, right?
And that information is very important for the author, because you have to know how much content you're going to put on a page or on two pages, if that's the case, right? And sometimes there is too little content, sometimes there's too much content.
Exactly. And this is something that the editor will help, you know, the author. You know, when the editor receives the first manuscripts, he sometimes sends it back and says, look, it's too much. Try to make it more concise, you know.
That's my next question. How do editors establish communication with writers How do they establish expectations, communication with writers when they're writing the manuscript? Because, you know, usually when you write the manuscript, it's not 100%, it's not perfect, right? So there are things that usually need to be adjusted, right? How is this communication with the between editors and writers?
It has to be the closest possible, right? WhatsApp honestly is the one that works faster. Or if you work online, for example, on Google Drive, I like to work online, and then you can mark, you know, your editor and ask the questions there, and then start, you know, the questions and answers there in the document. I think this works a lot as well. Because it has to be a very, very close communication, because you had mentioned before that it's a lot to do. And then you can't be waiting, you know, for days or even 24 hours can make a difference. So you need, you know, fast answers. So exactly. So you have to be there for the author.
Yeah. And I usually say, as someone who, well, I've been doing this for, you said that you've been doing this for over 10 years, like, I, you know, when I was teaching, I used to do it on and off, but now that's what I mainly do. But it's been like 2 years, so, you know, I'm still learning. And what I see is that if you want to be, what I have learned is that if you want to be a writer, if you want to be an author, you cannot take things personally. Because I tell this to everybody, your work will be criticized, and your work will be criticized by a lot of people, because a lot of people will read what you're doing, because it's a long process with a lot of people involved. So you are going to get feedback from people, and you have to be ready, open-minded, you have to listen, and you have to adapt, because, you know, sometimes you have a vision, but the client has a different vision.
Exactly. Right?
And you have to remember, you are working for the client. Exactly. So maybe your vision is not what they need or they want, right? So you have to be ready to adapt. And I agree with what you said. I think the connection between author, writer, and editor has to be very strong, because it's a partnership. If you have a good author working with a good editor, I think the book has everything to be wonderful, because if you know how to work together, it's like a dance, you know, like, oh, Marcus, why don't you think about this? Maybe you should do something different here. Be careful with this. It's not part of the briefing. Be careful with that. So I think this dance between editor and writer is extremely important, right?
Exactly.
For the success of the project.
Exactly. Do you agree? Exactly. Totally. And it's something that I had to learn how to work like this, because as a teacher, when you are in the classroom, you are kind of the owner of the room, right? And then, of course, you get feedback from students all the time, but then, you know, you have your way of dealing with that, but you are the owner there, right? You are the master there, let's say. But when we are working the editorial, there are a lot of people, and then you have to have this open communication and accept feedback, because it's for the best, you know, it's for the material, right? It's not for you.
And at the end of the day, we want to have the best book in the market, right? So that's what I think that should be the aim of everyone working in the project, to have the best book, to put out the best book, right, in the market. And Monica, I want to know, for you, thinking about what you do and the editorial process and everything, what are the biggest challenges for you in this job?
Time.
Everybody said that. Tell us a little bit about it.
Because the schedule is very, you know, it's a very tight, right? Because producing a book is a long process. You know, it's not something that you do in a month. It's something you do. It can take 9 months. It can even take more, depending on the book. And when you finish, it goes to printing and comes back from printing. And you know, so it's a long process. So of course, for every step, for the authoring, for editing, for every step, there is, you know, a tight schedule. And then you really have to focus on that. And sometimes now talking as an author, because after I was a project manager and I started working as a vendor, I've done, you know, everything. I've been an author, I've been an editor, I've done quality assurance, I've done practically all parts of the process. As an author, there's something there. There is creativity. Sometimes creativity doesn't come, you know.
And like you said, it's not an easy process. Like you said, the deadlines are very tight. And sometimes you have to write a lot in a very short period of time. And like you said, sometimes you have blocks, right? And then it's how do you overcome that? And the problem is, as the process goes, as an author, I can speak from experience. It's like, we get tired. Mm-hmm. It's like, when you are writing unit one, unit two, it's one thing. But when you're writing unit six and seven, it's another thing, because it's too fast and you get tired. And sometimes things come back to you for you to fix this stuff while you are writing the next unit. So you have to stop what you're doing. You have to go back, adapt, and fix this stuff while you are writing the next unit. So it's not easy, right? It's not an easy process.
No. And so I think that I would say that's the biggest challenge for me.
And so that would be the biggest challenge for you. And what is the most rewarding thing for you in this job?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's to think of, the end product, that it's going to reach students and you are going to make a difference, really, because from the topics you choose, and for example, give an example, I'm a person that I'm very concerned about the environment. I think nowadays many people are, because we are in a situation that's kind of worrying, you know. So when I write, a unit where I can put there some of the things I believe, and I know this is going to be there and it's going to reach people and that can, spread some ideas, this is very rewarding. And look, I write mostly books for teaching English, but I did not even mention the language, because I mean, the language is a channel for learning so many things, right?
Of course.
So this is very rewarding.
And Monica, one last question. How do you see the future of products? How do you see the future of the editorial process? Do you see any changes going on today? Do you see the editorial process changing, and how is it changing?
Mm-hmm. Artificial intelligence. Mm, already, it's not going to substitute, it's not going to replace anybody, but it's going to change the way we do things. The same way that, everything we have, nowadays, with the internet, the access we have to things that we can research, sources that we can find online that, years ago we did not have, for doing our work. And now artificial intelligence can be a good a partner.
Yes, I agree with you, because I think some people see it as an enemy. I don't see it as an enemy. I think we have to know how to use it. Yes. It's not perfect. It's far from being perfect. But I think it can be an ally in our job, right?
Exactly. If we learn how to use it, it can definitely be an ally, not an enemy. know, yes. And it will change the way we do things.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. Monica, thank you so much for being the first guest on the first season, in the first episode.
Wow, I'm so proud of that. Podcast.
Nice, right? I think we had a nice chat. Thank you very much for being here, for accepting my invitation. I think there are a lot of people who are curious about this job. I'm very proud of being in this field now, and I know how difficult it is because it's a small, if we look at the country, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's small.
Yeah.
It's like we see the same faces everywhere. It's always the same people. And I think it's high time we open doors to more people, right? And mm-hmm. I hope we have more projects and more jobs so that it can grow, right? Mm-hmm. So I thank you very much for sharing your knowledge with us. And so this, you are welcome. And we are going to have 4 episodes in the first season. So Monica was the first one. We have 3 more guests. And I hope you guys enjoyed. I hope you guys learned a lot from Monica. I did. And see you guys next time. Monica, thank you very much.
Bye, everyone. Bye.